I don't know about straight and level. I mean, I like to do a few turns now and then, but Amy, I think we're in the last segment for today, and we saved the best and most interesting aspect of the acronym world for our last guest, the partnership to enhance general aviation safety, accessibility, and sustainability. Pegasus, it's an FAA Center of Excellence for General Aviation Program. And the mission of Pegasus, what we're going to talk about here, is to enhance safety, accessibility, and sustainability. And we have some great guests, one great guest here today, and it's Barrett S. Caldwell, who is a PhD. My wife's a PhD, so I know how to talk to you guys. So welcome to the show, and I can't wait to start this discussion about Pegasus, even though I have to admit I'm kind of new to that whole thing. So I'm hoping you're going to help us do that.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on, and I'll see what I can do.
Well, so give us the reality show. What is Pegasus to us as pilots?
So one of the questions that the FAA has been asking is, how do we improve the quality and the safety and the ability for the flying public to continue to participate and expand the range of participation? Everything from airports that you can use and airports that can be maintained more cheaply to improve information and presentation for the pilots pre-flight, during flight, throughout the entire range of activities. And so we're at about 24 projects now, looking at the ways to improve and expand the range of general aviation capability.
Wow. And, you know, I know we were talking before we got started about a simple aspect of that, of watching the differences between real weather radar and NEXRAD and the fact that there's that time delay in there. And I know we also want to bring Mel into the conversation. So Mel Futrell, also from the Southern California area, where I've been spending a little more time, and I know you teach at Glendale. I'm sorry. You know, Palmdale. I'm thinking, you know,
one of the Dales.
Yeah, that's one right. of the Dales. But welcome to and.
Yeah, well, you're back. Big into the, yes, exactly. Mel has been Magneto Mel as
for
well.
For about 12 years.
For about 12 years.
I was just
going
to say, in case they don't recognize
exactly.
that name.
But you specialize in human factors, and I understand that's why how you got hooked up with this. You want to talk a little bit more about where this came from and, you know?
The whole project, yeah. First of all, there are several different projects with Pegasus, like as he mentioned, and the one that we have here today, this particular team, is the weather technology in the cockpit. And it talks a lot about one of the biggest aspects is the latency that's inherent between the actual weather that you have out the window, and by the time it does the radar sweep, goes and builds the mosaic, goes up to the satellites, and gets to your device, can be from a couple of minutes to up to 20 minutes latency. And with a storm cycle that can be as quick as a 30-minute cycle, that's a huge disparity.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it in Florida. I've absolutely seen it. You guys showed me a demonstration mm-hmm. of that. You had an incredible simulation.
And we have that here.
Oh, fabulous.
Yep.
Fabulous.
Because we have to have acronyms. It's called the Weather Information Latency Demonstrator, or WILD. And it helps pilots to get that experience on the ground to see the difference between what you see out the window and what the NEXRAD image would look like.
Wow. And which one to trust.
Yeah, that's the important part. I'm a big fan of my eyes when it comes to trusting what's really happening with the weather.
Oh, you mean looking out the window.
You betcha.
Oh, baby. There is that aspect. But now this WILD demonstration, is that up online somewhere that we'll be able to send people anywhere to see that? Or?
Well, right now, we're in the midst of developing some immersive experiences that will be online. The WILD itself is here at the Education and Career Center over in the Aviation Gateway Park.
Wouldn't that be interesting to integrate that into what you're doing at the Pilot Proficiency Center with those Redbirds?
I was just thinking about that, although we haven't spent a lot of time looking at the new technology as in the sense of weather. I mean, I'm hoping that's coming. In fact, we've got a meeting this afternoon. I'm going to bring that up. So.
Well, and WILD is not just, there's not just one demonstrator. There's one demonstrator here, but there's more than one, and we'd like to see it become something that's inherent in flight training, that's a little bit more ubiquitous for that aspect of weather training.
Barrett, it's really wonderful to see that thing work, I got to tell you, because it's subtle. It's not like, oh, you know, you got a blob on the screen and it's clearly not in the position that it's in. You guys went to a lot of trouble to make very subtle changes outside versus inside and forced people into decision making.
Well, yeah, one of the real challenges is to create a realistic enough view of what the weather would look like and then tie that to a pilot manipulating their plane and having those movements being seen on the weather information display, but then have the weather be that weather, but late. And to do that required some joys with extra computer programming and integrating the two systems, and then, of course, trying to get multiple monitors to display fairly detailed high-resolution weather at a frame rate that's not going to add for more problems.
Yeah, well, you don't want to make them nauseous. I agree.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that, because we were talking earlier with Matt Thurber about the complexity of training people in the new generation of avionics. But it's very distracting for a relatively inexperienced pilot to see something like NexRed, and they go, well, that looks good. Well, that tells me where I don't want to go.
Well, actually, that's one of the biggest takeaways, is that it's weather information, but it is not to be used for tactical navigation around convective activity.
Tactical navigation. Now, there is a term. I just love it. I love it. You're absolutely right. You can't pick through stuff with NexRed.
No. It the resolution, no matter how good the resolution is of your screen, that does not mean that that's the accurate, oh, there is exactly that much cloud, exactly that much precip at the level of resolution that we would say, yeah, you can thread that needle.
Yeah, and not only that, we don't have the Doppler wind shear technology. We do not have the technology that exists on large aircraft in our light general aviation fleet. We are not looking at real-time radar, and we are not calculating the outflow effect of wind and things like that. And we can't power out of it anyway if we were to get into it.
Excellent, excellent point. Well, you know, I'm curious to know, now this, how long has Pegasus been going? I mean,
Pegasus as a center of excellence was created about 4 years ago. The project that we're working on is starting its third year of operations, but we're a consortium of six primary core universities. Pegasus is the lead, but we also have our colleagues at The Ohio State University, Florida Institute of Technology, Georgia Tech, Texas A&M, and Iowa State.
And you have some industry partners as well, don't you?
Industry partners are absolutely essential to everything that we do. They're essential to supporting the research mission. We don't like to talk about funding, but obviously you need that. But we've been working with people like Frasca for the past 2 years with our project. We've been working with airframers. We've been working with civil engineering firms on the airport. LED lighting issues and all those things. Without the industry partners, we would not be here to be able to talk about this. And so we're always on the lookout and always encouraging good industry discussions, because that's how it gets out, is through industry, not just by people reading journal papers.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm excited, Barrett, because on your shirt, which says Purdue University, it says industrial engineering. Can you talk about how an industrial engineer ends up in a project like Pegasus?
Well, I'm an industrial engineer who was originally trained as an aeroastro, so that might give me a little bit of a leg up. But industrial engineering looks at improving the safety, performance, and effectiveness of systems that have people or equipment or materials or information in them. And I think aviation qualifies on all of those. And my particular area of emphasis is human factors, the nickname for our lab group is the Grouper Lab. Yes, I like acronyms. but our mission is how to study how people get, share, and use information better.
That pretty much puts it in a nutshell, doesn't it?
And it does, actually, because we were talking, too, about the fact that sometimes the designers of the electronics see everything as a cool advantage, and they just throw it in.
Oh, yeah, let's make it do this.
And the poor user, their eyeballs just kind of explode, not knowing what to do next.
The joys of scope creep. Yes.
Scope creep.
Is that what you call that? That's a technical term, but I like it.
We would call it feature creeping.
Okay. Yeah.
Feature creep. I like that, too.
That sounds wonderful. Where can people find you?
You can find us online as well, not just about the Wittig Project, but our 22 other friend projects at pegasus.aero, and again it's pegasas.aero, aero.
Barrett Caldwell, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. And Mel Futrell, Magneto Mel.
Oh, yeah, nobody knows my last name. Magneto
Thanks
Mel.
Again for being on EAA Radio here at AirVenture 2016.
You bet.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Amy. It's been great. Thank you.